I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off, and when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done, because we know what they did.
K-Row. I've been there. K-Row.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life, and we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Welcome to the Hashtag Bullwedge Podcast, as Senator Krause said. Just trying to make tomorrow a little better than today. We are live from the Capitol basement. We may be doing a lot of these come session time. We are joined by an elector, Scott Clark, and Becky Lohman. I think the joke is getting bad about joking about you quitting.
Right, I'm coming back. You're stuck with me.
Yeah, I kind of thought if we made it till now, till we were back in the Capitol, you would just come because why not, right?
You might be passive aggressively firing me is what might be happening, but
I'm not.
I'm
not that intelligent to be that passive aggressive. I am just a simple hillbilly from Southeast Missouri, which is where Scott Clark hails from. Everybody in Republican politics in Southeast Missouri will recognize the name and recognize you. So tell me about being an elector.
Well, they might recognize Scott R. Clark, R like in Republican.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm doing well. It's going to be an interesting day, I think. It's been an interesting process. For me, this process started way back in Pabra Bluff. In April, when I was elected to
God's
represent
the,
absolutely Missouri's 8th congressional district, and you know, you come home and you tell your friends and your family, "Hey, I'm going to be an elector." Oh, okay. Well, what's that? And so you explain, like, "Oh, when do you do something?" Oh, December. Oh, that's a long ways off. And so for me, it's been building. You know, May, June, July, August. We had our primary. You know, the general election was a great day, and for everybody else on general election day, their mail stopped. It did not stop if you were an elector. The mail kept coming.
And up until this morning,
up
probably,
until this
right?
morning, I was getting emails at 4 a.m. this morning from people. And so it has been an amazing process, for sure.
So, Scott, you're one of the people in politics that probably has their pulse on the actual people as well as the people in politics. I thought there was two places you could kind of tell where the fervor for Donald Trump was just off the charts. One was Jefferson County, traditionally a Democratic county. It's been turning the last few elections. I thought Donald Trump, and they won all the way down to the judges, were now Republicans in Jeff County. And the other place was Southeast Missouri.
Absolutely. A couple counties that I would have noted when I was looking at the numbers were Shannon County and Iron County. Carter County, which is where I originally hail from, has been voting Republican for quite some time. But Iron County and Shannon County especially, we saw large numbers. And Donald Trump didn't win at 51% like Mitt Romney did in those counties. He won at 60 and 70% in those counties. And so Southeast Missouri is certainly turning Republican red. We may not be quite as Republican red as the 7th Congressional District, but we're certainly working on it. You know, Donald Trump's vote was 225,000 Republicans voted for him on November.
And in the primary, too. I mean, the primary, Southeastern was strong for Trump.
Absolutely. It is one of the congressional districts that he won. The 8th Congressional District was his widest margin of victory. He won that with 21,000, I think. It's been several months since I've looked at those numbers since March, but 21,000 Republicans voted for him in the 8th Congressional District in the primary.
Speaking of Donald Trump, the businessman, let's thank our sponsors, the St. Louis Area Chamber of Commerce, Republic Services, and the Carpenters Union, for letting us do the Hashtag Mullwedge Podcast. Scott, I saw this ridiculous, idiotic video by Martin Sheen and some other D-listers coming out and saying, "Oh, change your mind." So
that worked, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I haven't actually seen those videos.
I think you're saving yourself.
You should go watch that one. It's hilarious.
Is it hilarious? I like comedy. And
you thought it would be a Saturday Night Live
satire. Like a satire.
But it wasn't. These people were serious.
And I would say this. Donald Trump has done one of the greatest things for creating jobs. Alec Baldwin has a job for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
So he's already creating jobs for people who, you know, out-of-work actors and whatnot. So
these people that are shooting you emails, are they on both sides? Are they saying, please stay with Trump, vote against? What are they saying to you? Emails and calls that you're getting?
I have had some that were pro-Trump, but the most of them have been, "I'm concerned for my country." That they always start out, "I'm concerned for my country." And I was concerned for my country 8 years ago, too.
Yeah.
And look where we are today. And so my concerns, you know, have been swayed a little bit because I think Donald Trump is going to make America great again. I think we are going to see a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train that's coming at us. is not the Hillary train, it's the Trump train, and it's going forward. And get on board the Trump train, because it's going to be great.
Let's talk about a little bit of matter of practicality. You were you're a longtime Republican. You were elected by a group of Republicans. Every part of your district you represent was wildly pro-Trump, maybe more pro-Trump than anybody we've seen in my lifetime, for sure, maybe the last 100 years, for any presidential candidate. Was there ever any chance you were going to change your mind?
For voting for Trump?
Yeah.
No.
Let me ask you this. There's a bunch of people sending you emails and letters or protesting. I would think that would probably dig in more, right?
As I told the AP when they interviewed me, it makes me more staunch in my vote and more obstinate, if you will, in making sure that I carry out the duty. I represent 748,000 individuals in the 8th Congressional District. Out of that, 225 voted Republican. Donald Trump won it handily with 60% plus of the vote. When I was elected in April, I didn't necessarily support Trump. That wasn't necessarily my candidate. I supported someone else. But I pledged to that room of Republicans who trusted me with this responsibility that I would support the Republican nominee, no matter who that was. If it's Donald Trump, then I will be voting for Donald Trump. And today, I will carry out my pledge and my promise and hold up my honor to support what I said I would do in April.
I always think it's interesting. People want you to switch positions when it benefits them, and then if it doesn't benefit them, you're a flip-flopper. I mean, it seems to me like
you pick and choose. So I'm a nerd for the process.
Yes.
What happens if an elector were to flip their vote in Missouri? I've heard things about there's fines. I mean, what happens
were
to do that?
There's no punishment in Missouri. Okay. You're done in Republican politics, at least, if you do that.
Right.
So it'll be your last act in Republican politics, for sure.
Sure.
There's no punishment for it, but let's go down the road. And I think, honestly, this is where most of the hype comes from, okay? Because the news media, no offense to you all, but the news media
I'm not in there.
Yeah.
Magazines.
This is my side gig. They need to sell newspapers and airtime and advertising.
She's a lobbyist. Don't let her get all high and
mighty. Actually, I don't know. Yeah. It's like the media and
lobbying.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The media wants a story to continue on, and wouldn't it be an awesome constitutional crisis if the story continued on? Because then it would be thrown to the House of Representatives. And we've had several instances where this election has been thrown to the House of Representatives. I think one of the most contentious, fought-out election was the one between Andrew Jackson and John Adams and Henry Clay. And John Adams ends up winning in the House of Representatives because of the Speaker of the House at the time was Henry Clay, and he wanted to be Secretary of State, and John Adams promised him Secretary of State, and he swayed the Kentucky delegation, who would have otherwise have voted for Jackson, to vote for John Adams. And Jackson declared corrupt bargain, and we talk about vicious elections these days. That was a vicious election. And so if we get thrown to the House, I think it'll still be a Republican. I think it'll still be Donald Trump. If we were to go down that road, I still think that enough people at this point would say, okay, America's spoken, and by golly, if I don't vote for Donald Trump, I'm probably not going to be a congressman the next go-around, and it's 4 years to his election, it's two to mine. I'm going to be out a lot faster, and the memory of this will be a lot fresher on my election day than his election day.
That's a great point.
So you should keep that in mind. So I think today we'll all carry out our duty. We will all vote as we said we would vote. We will not be faithless. And that's the thing. You know, they say you should be a faithless elector, a Hamilton elector. Well, I don't know if Hamilton would agree or not agree, because I can't channel Hamilton. But I would say this. I can't believe that any of our founders would want us not to hold up our honor and our pledge of what we said we were going to do on the day appointed to us.
It's kind of cool to talk about Alexander Hamilton and John Henry Clay, all these guys, and you're part of the process that we're discussing it. I mean, is there a little bit of history that you feel today?
Yes.
That's kind of a neat thing.
The tingling, and I don't think it's the cold.
Yeah.
You know, when I was walking, I actually walked in front of the Capitol today, and I looked up at Jefferson as I was walking by. I kind of asked myself, is that the cold or is this history that's, you know, prickling my skin?
And we can't see what Scott's wearing, but he has an American flag tie. He has American flag socks. He is
pachyderm.
God bless America today on Missouri.
Absolutely. And honestly, if I was to get in my full regalia.
Oh, there.
Oh, my God.
So what is that? So it's a gold chain with some sort of horn on the end.
So it's a tusk.
It's a tusk. Okay.
This is the tough tusk. It is the highest honor that a pachyderm can receive. There is a saying that goes along with it, and I won't get it right, but the chain is made of gold to remind us that our principles must be pure.
Wow.
The tusk, when pointed up, is to remind us that one step to the edge could cause us to fall off our way. It's pointed to jab at those who would be our would-be opponents and make sure that our points are sharp in the argument when we refute their statements. There's more that goes along with it, but that's the short version.
No, that's very cool. You should definitely wear that. Don't hide that in your pocket. Yeah.
Well,
that is cool.
I was going to put it on later. I hadn't quite gotten there for here yet. So
you mentioned Jefferson. There was one thing I wanted to ask you. You've been through this process. You've been elected by folks in your part of the state. Now you're up here. Do you think they should still be Electoral College, or is it something that may have passed its usefulness?
You know, I've heard that argument quite a lot. And I think
Jefferson might make that argument.
I would put this before you. Jefferson was a little more of a radical than, say, John Adams would be, or others. But keep this in mind. Out of 3,144 or so counties or parishes in the United States, Hillary Clinton won 57 counties. 57 counties. Donald Trump won over 3,000 counties. If we, in the 3,000, want to be dictated by 57 counties, you talk about swing states? No, no, no. This will be swing counties. Why should I even campaign in the state of Missouri or Iowa or Kansas when I can get all the votes I need in California, New York, and Texas? So keep that in mind when you're thinking, let's throw this all out. 57 counties out of 3,000 would dictate who our president would be. To me, that is way more disproportional than any argument they can make that the popular vote won. And so Donald Trump should lose. 57 counties controlling who's president.
Well, Scott, Southeastern, congratulations. Thanks for joining us about to walk in and cast that vote. And I'm sure Ben or Travis will be catching up with you later today to kind of find out what all happened in the room and the ramifications going forward. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.